Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this installment of For What It's Worth. It's been a while since we've done one of these. It's a long story, but anyway, we're back. And wanted to talk to you about some of the things that are going on in our country, not the specifics necessarily, but just an overview of the happenings and different events as it relates to the inauguration of President Trump, the contention that exists in the nation, this war, cultural war that we find ourselves in. In fact, I would even go so far as to say that to some degree, we're already in some kind of a civil war. I mean, we've got people marching through the streets, destroying property, setting property on fire, women wearing disgusting little hats somehow or another to encourage me to have more respect for women, all these kinds of different things. And it just seems like everywhere you look, there's contention, there's strife, there's chaos. And of course, the problem with this is that Messiah told us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And we've talked about that in this context before. But what I want to talk to you about today is the fact that we are in a fight for America. But the fight, from a believer's point of view, needs to be for something else. And I wanted to share with you some scriptures that speak to the issue that that I wanted to share with you today. And we'll begin in Exodus chapter 13. And this is as the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt. And let me put it in, or frame it this way. God is forming a nation. He is calling a nation out of Egypt. He bore Israel into himself upon eagle's wings, he said, and he called them to be a holy nation. But here's what it says of them in Exodus 13, beginning in verse 17. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. And so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And so there's a couple of things here that I think we need to highlight. Number one, when Israel came out of Egypt, they did not flee from Egypt. They didn't run. It was not chaos as they left Egypt. Egypt was in chaos, but the children of Israel marched out, it says, in orderly ranks. And that is to suggest, the image would be a military unit moving from one duty station to another duty station. They're not going to run. They're not going to flee. They're going to march. They're going to go out orderly. So that's the idea here. In fact, there's other passages where God talks about when he brought Israel out, he referred to them as Zevaot, or armies, or hosts. So we need to establish that first. But the second thing we want to talk about is the fact that God decided he was not going to take them the shortest path from Egypt to the land of Canaan. He was going to take them through a very long path, actually, by way of the Red Sea. Why? Because if the children of Israel had seen war at that point, they would have turned around and returned to Egypt. And the wilderness experience is replete with these occasions when the children of Israel were wanting to go back to Egypt. They were always thinking back to Egypt. Why did we ever come out here? You know, you brought us out into the wilderness to die. And so there's already that element, even as they're leaving Egypt. God realizes that. So let me put it this way. Even though they were coming out in orderly ranks, like a military unit, they weren't a military unit. They still had the hearts of slaves to some extent. They were people that were born in Egypt. That's all they had ever known. In fact, for many of them, bondage was all they had ever known. And so they're not going to be the kind of people who are going to fight for something. They're not going to be the kind of people who are going to fight for God's purposes and what God wants for them. And the irony of this is that when it says that they came out in orderly ranks, the Hebrew term chamoshim, in some translations anyway, is rendered armed. That is to say, they came out with weapons in their hand. So we'll look at it this way. They may have had a sword in their hand, but they did not have a sword in their hearts. They didn't have the word of the Lord in their hearts like Caleb and Joshua did later, who were unafraid to go into the land, to face the giants, to face the populated cities, these huge populated areas. So to kind of summarize this part here, God is calling a nation, and he realizes that at this early stage, they are not willing to fight for those things that God has in store for them, and they would have to fight for them. And so in part, it seems that the wilderness experience was God's way of preparing them, preparing their hearts to fight, to be willing to fight for what God had in store for them. Now, in their situation, they had to physically fight. Of course, the Lord had already gone before them. So, relating this to our situation today, what we find going on in our nation, and most of you who are watching are American, and my apologies to those who are not American that are watching this. I think you can still glean from it. But nonetheless, in America here, we're in a war. And it's not just a political war. It's not just a cultural war. It's a spiritual war. And we know that as believers, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against these principalities and these powers. And so then, we're not going to prevail in this fight that we're in through political reform. We're not going to prevail with bullets and bombs or even ballot boxes, because the problem in this nation is spiritual, and therefore it cannot be remedied through political means, at least exclusively. And so that leads me to this statement, and this is where some of you are probably going to get a little upset with me. The fight that we're in, a lot of people see it as a fight for America. I have come to the place that I'm not going to fight for America anymore. What we need to contend for as believers is righteousness. You see, when we go to fight for America, we employ the tactics that we've always used. And Einstein, at least this is a quote attributed to Einstein, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and hoping for a different result. So we don't need to be fighting for America as believers, per se. We need to be fighting for righteousness, standing up for righteousness. And so again, our weapons of warfare are not carnal. We're not going to win this fight through political or temporal means. We prevail when we humble ourselves before God and we employ these spiritual weapons that we have been given. We need to take up the sword. It needs to be hidden in our heart, and we need to appeal to heaven in humility and with a contrite heart. That's the fight we need to be in. And if we fight and contend for righteousness, America will benefit. So I want you to be I want to be clear on this, and hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say here. I'm concerned about the nation. I'm concerned about my country. I'm concerned about the welfare of my children and their future. But I'm not going to fight for America. I'm going to fight for righteousness. And if I do that, and if you do that, if we all do that, America will benefit. And so let me go over here to Luke's gospel to kind of underscore my point. In Luke chapter 12, a very familiar portion of Scripture, we'll begin in verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, but God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And if you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And so do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after." In other words, what he's really saying here is don't think, don't act like the nations. These things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. So God knows that we need temporal things. He knows that we need food and drink and clothing and shelter, and He knows that we need health, and He knows that we need security, and He knows that we need safe borders and all these things. But what does Messiah say? If you want these things, verse 31, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And that's what I'm saying here. We're in a very precarious situation, and I know that some people are of the opinion the nation has been saved. I'm not ready to make that statement. I would go so far as to say that maybe, and I want to underscore that word, maybe the nation has been given a reprieve, an opportunity. But if given an opportunity, I believe it's for this purpose, to demonstrate to God whether or not we're going to keep His commandments, whether or not we're going to seek His face now that the election is settled, whether or not we truly want spiritual reform in the nation and not just political reform. Because you see, an administration can come in and do all the right things, at least as we see it. He can do what's right in our eyes. And he can secure the borders, and he can help the economy, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll go, great, that's wonderful. But what can happen is that administration goes out, another administration comes in and reverses everything, and we're right back to where we started. And as a matter of fact, the article that I posted on the blog about Has America Been Saved went into greater detail with that. So what I'm saying here is this. We should not be fighting for America with the intent of affecting political reform. What we should be doing is seeking spiritual reform and seeking first the kingdom of heaven, contending for righteousness. And if we do that, then the nation will prosper. Then the nation will benefit, and we'll have more than just political reform. We'll have true and genuine spiritual reform. And so that's why I say I'm not fighting for America anymore. I'm going to fight for righteousness. I love my country. I have concerns about the country. I am going to try to live a life that is indicative of a good citizen. I'm going to try to do my part. But at the end of the day, I need to understand, and we all need to understand, that all nations will one day be subservient to the Messiah. The nations, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Messiah, of His Christ. So one day, all nations, including the United States, are going to have to bow to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is the kingdom, that is the nation that I was born again into. And so when it comes to advancing a cause, I need to be, as a believer, advancing the cause of the Messiah, following Him, being a light to all those that I come in contact with. And we all know this, but it just seems to me that when we're embroiled in such a situation that we find ourselves in this nation, this constant contention, and as we're taping this, last evening was the speech that the president gave to Congress, and it was just obvious how contentious everything is and the division and the strife that exists. You had one side standing and cheering, and you had another side sitting on their hands and at times looking like they didn't know what to do. That's the situation we find ourselves in. And so that house that's divided cannot and will not stand. The only way that we can bring these things back together and put things back the way they're supposed to be is to seek spiritual reform and to fight and to contend for the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And we have the promise that if we do that, then all these other things will be added unto us. All these other things will fall into their proper place. And so I'll kind of leave you with this statement. I've already made it, but just to kind of underscore what we're saying here. Even though I love my country, even though I want to see the best for my country, I'm not going to fight for America. That's not my job. My job, my mandate as a believer and follower of the Messiah is to fight for righteousness, to seek the kingdom of heaven and advance His purposes, His agenda. And if we do that, rest assured, America, any nation, will benefit if its people are turning their hearts and lives back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so that's my two cents, for what it's worth. Shalom.